cumbia de la
Take it away.
Welcome to Building Bridges. I'm Sebi.
And I'm Dave.
And this is a Eurovision podcast for the rest of us.
Yeah, and for the first time ever, the Canadians have the Europeans outnumbered on an episode of Building Bridges, which is hilarious. We've got everyone's favorite, I guess, Eurovision floating head from social media with us today, Sean. You might know him as World Vishon from TikTok and Instagram and all the other places. And he's on today to talk to us about, well, basically, yeah, our week in review, what's been happening, especially last night as we record this on Sunday. So, Sean, welcome. Do you want to tell our listeners, if there's a few of them that, as Petra and Malin would say, live under a rock, who you are and what you are on social media?
Yeah, sure. So my name is Sean. I have been doing Eurovision content creation for the past 5 years now, which is crazy to think about. I started on TikTok, and then from there, I decided to branch out to Instagram and YouTube as well. And I'm originally from Canada, so that's a unique, I guess, perspective that maybe some Europeans don't respect. But yeah, I do come with, I guess, like a different perspective because I didn't grow up in like the Eurovision or European music scene, but I have loved the contest since 2009, and that's a bit about me.
But you do have a strong connection, even outside of the social media world, to Eurovision, because you were a songwriter this year, actually, for Birgo, who we talked to on this podcast already. So how did that happen, that whole scenario?
Yeah, so I've been involved in music my whole entire life. I've sung from a very young age. And then I think as I got a little bit more, as I got older, I realized that singing is not my thing. Like, I'd rather be behind the scenes. So I really like songwriting. And so over the last couple of years, I have submitted some songs into different national finals. And I've had some luck with some countries, Romania, Slovenia, and Moldova. And then this year with Iceland and Birgo. So yeah, with Birgo in particular, I kind of just was trying to find any artist in Iceland. And so I searched in Instagram, like Iceland singer, Iceland song, Iceland whatever. And I came across a bunch of different people. And I feel like it was like 100, I feel like it was like literally 100 hours of research to find like right person. It was a very, very long process. But when I came across her, the search stopped because I was like, this is the one. And so, yeah, we wrote a song. I think a lot of people might not know this if they know my journey with Birgo, but we actually wrote a song 2 years ago, submitted that into Iceland's national final, and it didn't end up making it. And then we literally dedicated all of last year to writing a song that was like, felt like almost like handprinted for her, her voice and her style and all that jazz. And so that was the experience. And yeah, then we got in and the rest is history.
Yeah, but I think that's every Eurovision fan's biggest dream to make it on, I mean, at least to a national final, but probably someday you'll make it to Eurovision itself as a songwriter too. So that's going to be exciting.
I hope from your from your mouth to God's ears. I hope that is the case. Yeah. I mean, I remember like a couple years ago before I got into any national final, I would say like, if I could just get into any national final, I could die happy. And now I'm greedy. Now I'm like, if I could just get into Eurovision, I could die happy. Like now I want more, more, more. So yeah, I hope
that's life. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we thought Birgo would do it. And I sent you a quick message once the results came out, and I'm not one to blame a broadcaster or say that they've, you know, cooked the results or anything, but I was really shocked. I think a lot of people were really shocked at how low Birgo, like we all thought first of all she was getting through, and then when she didn't, it was like, oh, she must have like just missed out. But like, have you spoken to her? I'm hoping she's okay and she's doing well, but I'm still not over it.
Yeah, Oh, God. Yeah. It's the weirdest thing because leading up, I've never been to a national final before. And I've been into other, like, I've had songs in other national finals, but I've never had, I guess, so much faith. Like, I really saw, you know, the odds and then the polls and the surveys and all these things. And I was like, okay, she's at least going to do quite well. So I'll go. Yeah. And the plan was to be in Iceland for like 20 days. So I really had faith in this one. I've never had that level of faith in any of my songs. I love all the other artists that I've worked with and the songs, but I've just never had that level of faith. So it was definitely, it was a tough blow, but she's doing well. She's like, I feel like at this point I refer to her as like my sister. Like when I'm explaining our relationship, like we're very, very close. We speak still on the daily, and we're committed to submitting something for next year as well. Yeah, it was a weird thing to kind of like wrap our heads around. And I think like over the past couple of days, we've got a little bit more insight as to what took place. I think because at least from what I've heard, I think with all of the drama from last year and I don't know, I guess things can be cut and spliced. But do you guys talk about politics to any extent or should I refrain from that or will that just be cut out if it's
you can talk about whatever you want here this okay. is free
safe space
okay yeah with Israel's involvement I think last year the broadcaster from what I heard was nervous in Iceland that they were going to get a very low number of song submissions so what they ended up doing was they reached out to a bunch of well-known artists in Iceland like domestically known artists that are played on the radio or have been in bands for many, many years, they reached out to them. And so they had their traditional national selection process where they had 110 entries that were submitted. And then from those entries, I think I heard like 2 to 3 ended up being in the national final for Iceland, whereas the other ones were people who were approached by the broadcaster. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there were definitely a lot of familiar faces like within the Icelandic public, like a lot of people that the Icelandic public knew. And so I think it was an uphill climb for her because she's some girl that I found on Instagram. She's not known, she's not a household name, whereas a lot of other people were like, oh, I know that guy, or I know that group, or I know that girl. So yeah, in that respect, it was tough, but it's now really nice to see like there was obviously like a lot of outrage from the Eurovision fandom. And then it was written up in a lot of the like Icelandic media that the fandom was upset. Mm-hmm. So now she's actually getting like her flowers. So obviously there was no win at the end of the day, but it kind of feels a little bit like a win for her because she's getting the recognition that she deserves.
Yeah, I always say that to, you know, artists or songwriters as well, when they are a fan favorite and then get disappointed with the results, it's like, you're still a winner in a way. You have the streams on your song, you have the platform, you have the attention from everybody. And this is, you know, the relevant thing in the music industry at the end of the day. So
That's all they want is exposure. Yeah. And she's definitely getting that. So hopefully next year she'll be a little bit more well known. People will have it a little bit fresh in their brains and be like, I want to vote for this girl.
Yeah. And I think in Iceland there is such a big scene, you know, such a big Eurovision fandom inside the country that I think, you know, people will remember her. And then maybe, you know, this was a platform for her to introduce herself. And then maybe next year with your help again she can make it to Eurovision.
Fingers crossed.
All right. Well, shall we move on? It's been a busy week. Definitely. There were 2 song releases before we get to what happened last night. We had the Netherlands with Claude, who put out C'est la vie. And Australia out of nowhere dropped Gojo with Milkshake Man. So before we look at all the national files from last night, any comments on any of those 2 songs, what you thought?
I'll go first. I'd say the Netherlands, I like the song. I like his voice. I mean, looking at the music video too, he looks like performing is just like in his blood. He's a great dancer. He has a lot of charisma. And that makes me excited because I always refer to the Eurovision Song Contest as really being the Eurovision Performance Contest. So, you know, with great staging, his charisma and the song, which I think is decent, I think it could do quite well. I think the song, at least the studio cut, seems a little safe. It's very inoffensive. It's not like breaking barriers, breaking boundaries by any stretch of the imagination. But as I said, it's easy listening. I don't think anyone could really listen to it and say, I hate it. And I think that's a good thing, obviously. But it's also, by the same token, a little bit difficult for me to imagine someone listening to it and saying like, oh, this is the best song this year. I mean, of course, there's going to be people like that. But I think it's more like people feel maybe it's like a 6, 7 out of 10. at least I do personally. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I'm curious to hear your guys' perspective, and then, or should I go right into Australia too?
No, we can discuss it. I mean, I feel like, you know, in most other years, I would say, yeah, it's a very safe song. It's, you know, somewhere in the middle for me. But I think this year, this song actually has better chances because there is a lot of gimmicky entries, a lot of very eccentric songs. And I think, you know, especially the juries will just be relieved to hear a very well-produced and very... Now, I don't want to say the others are unprofessional, but maybe this is a bit more, you know, radio-friendly, internationally friendly. And I do think that he has a good chance. I don't see him as the winner, but I'm just saying with the songs we have so far, this does stand out, which it normally wouldn't maybe in a different field. So yeah, I do quite like it, actually.
Yeah, you stole the word out of my mouth, Sebi. I was going to say the same thing. Very radio-friendly. It's been out 2-3 days now, and it has almost 900,000 views on YouTube. So that's a really good sign, I think. And yeah, I see this qualifying fairly easily. Hopefully Claude has some good ideas for staging. After Liverpool, my faith in what the Dutch can do on stage kind of dropped a little bit, although it did come up last year, I should say. But yeah, we'll see. I think it'll come down. How far up the scoreboard he goes, I think, on Saturday night will depend on how well it's staged, I think.
So Australia, Sean.
Australia. Oh, my God. Okay, so I typically really don't gravitate towards these types of songs. Like, I think a lot of people online, if they're haters of me, they're haters of me because I generally don't gravitate towards, like, the Joost Klein entries or Kadia or that type of stuff. Like, these outlandish... Yeah. Wacky fun entries. I'm a little bit more of a, I don't know, serious guy who like loves mm-hmm. to pay attention to like the vocals and all that stuff. But with this one, there, I do like it. I can't really explain it. I was watching it last night and like it just, it's almost like, I swear it's like unexplainable. Like maybe it's something in the production, but there's some sort of earworm quality to it that makes me like feel really excited when I'm listening to it. But it's really, yeah, it's a really weird one for me to put into words. I don't know why I like it, but I do.
Yeah, I feel like this could go anywhere, you know, depending on, you know, the performance and the whole package in Basel. This could do really well or this could really flop. But at the beginning, I was a little bit disappointed just because he was rumored to be the artist for Australia. And I listened to some of his other discography and it's very different from Milkshake Man. It's a bit more of this, you know, singer-songwriter vibe. And then, you know, Milkshake Man is very different from that. But I do find it very interesting. I just fear, you know, Semifinal 2 has a lot of unserious entries already. They have Malta, they have Finland, they have Ireland. And I don't know, you know, everybody says these songs are televote friendly, but at some point, you know, there is limits to how many countries can advance, and Australia is usually not the most televoted country.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I really think this depends on the staging, but I could see it doing really well too, if this is crazy, and I do see the artistic vision in it, in a way. I really like the music video, actually. The 80s vibes, and the... It's not LEDs, it's neon lights. Yeah.
My thoughts are kind of like a combination of what you both just said. Like, Sean, I feel the same way. Like, the first time I listened to it, I was like, eh. But I keep hearing it over and over on social media, and the more that happens, the more it kind of gets stuck in my head. Especially after seeing the Prime Minister react. I don't know if you saw that on TikTok. The Australian Prime Minister listened to it, and he starts going, yeah, I like it. So that was fun to see. But at the same time, Sebi, yeah, it's another one of these fun entries. There's a lot of them, and... I don't know how you stage a song like Milkshake Man. It like really good LEDs or you bring something on stage. I don't know. He's going to have to make this stand out, and he's going to have really good vocals live for this to qualify, because like you said, the Australia still 10 years on isn't getting the televote fairness, I guess, that some other European countries do. So it makes sense. They have no neighbors, but it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. First show from last night, can we start with, I think, my favorite of the evening? Can we start with Denmark and Sisal winning with Hallucination?
Oh, yeah,
What were your thoughts, Sean?
Oh, God, this. So, yeah, I feel like at this point every year in the national final season, I'm always like, oh, this seems like a weak year. And I feel the same way this year. Like, I always repeat myself, 2023, 2022. And so I'm feeling the same way right now. And finally, Denmark, in my, like, for my taste, it has come to the rescue because it's very much up my alley. I do, like, love these types of songs. And I think it is so brilliantly, like, executed. Her voice to me is really unique. I love like how fast her vibrato is. She can hit any note in the book. So I don't feel like nervous watching her as a performer. And that's a big thing for me when I'm watching Eurovision. Like, I don't want to feel nervous. And so she doesn't make me feel nervous. And then on top of that too, like, I think it's really catchy. I think the song is obviously pop, and we hear a lot of pop at Eurovision. It's probably the biggest genre at Eurovision, but I do think it is unique. Like the vocal melody of the like it's like kind of different. It's really like very much an earworm for me. I woke up this morning, it's the first thing that was like already stuck in my head. And so I'm a huge fan of this one, and it shot up to my number one.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. I talked to Sissal on the podcast actually just like a few days before, and she said to me, you know, she sees no way that she would not qualify at Eurovision, especially after 5 years for Denmark.
Oh, and so she's confident. So she thinks she will.
She is confident, yes.
I love that.
That's good. And at first I was like, yeah, it is confident, but it can be a bold statement, especially, you know, Denmark has a very bad track record recently. But after hearing her perform live, I am a lot more confident about it making it through as well. I do hope they change the styling, and part of the performance was a bit awkward, like the wind machine, and then she had her hair in her face.
Yeah.
But that's things that can be polished, and the vocals are definitely there. And, you know, again, maybe this is what Europe wants. If they hear 6 joke entries, they just want a competent, well-sung, well-performed radio song.
Yeah, one that can obviously be done live. Like Sean was saying, her vocals were fantastic. I'm glad to hear someone who knows music like yourself saying that, because I'm in no professional capacity to really comment on how good the vocals are, but I'm glad you agree. I was blogging Germany last night, so I didn't get to see the show, and it wasn't posted to the official YouTube channel of the Eurovision, so I haven't been able to see the other acts to compare her to anybody else. I don't know if either of you saw the full show and saw anybody else. I think I saw Tim Shu on stage at the end. Maybe he got top 3 or something. I don't know.
He was second, yeah. I think actually the top 3 would have been mine as well. I really liked Adele the second too. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you watched that. It was just, you know, I wouldn't have sent it to Eurovision, but it felt very relatable to me because it's a guy, you know, similar to me and like just doing his thing. I really like that, but I do think that Sissal was the best choice for Eurovision.
But funny enough, she actually didn't even win the televote, because I think it was Tim Shu that won the televote. And we saw the same thing happen with Saba last year, where she didn't win the televote, but she won the jury, and then she ended up going to Eurovision. So I'm a little nervous about that. Like, when she goes to Eurovision, I'm hoping that, you know, in a pure televote semifinal, I'm hoping she's going to get the votes to go to the grand final. But
yeah,
we'll see.
I feel like the Danish televoters are a bit random. Like, they prefer to go for, you know, the names, like they already know, like Tim or like Basim, I think, won it last year against Saba. So it's maybe just because they had the familiarity factor because they already went to Eurovision. So, yeah.
Yeah, but the performance needs a bit of work. That's the only thing for me that when I saw the replay this morning, you were saying about the hair was weird. I found the hands coming in was really odd, and like touching her hair, like that kind of grossed me out a bit. As someone who is follically challenged, you know, with people that have hair, like I feel like that's something, you know, you don't want other people's hands in your hair. But yeah, the I think they need to scrap that. I know, like you said, last year with Saba, I really loved Sand last year. It was one of my favorites, and of course it didn't qualify. But I found that the staging from DMGP to Malmö didn't change a whole lot. And I think that was the only thing wrong. Like, the song itself was fine, but it needed a huge change in the staging, and they didn't do that. So I hope DR learns their lesson this year and will put some faith into Sissal and give her the, you know, whatever they need to do to elevate the staging to get it through to Saturday night. So fingers crossed for her.
I read somewhere that they are planning to stage it, but it's the source is not verified, but I read it somewhere online, so there's hope.
Well, if it's online, it has to be true.
Yeah.
No lies on the internet.
Source AI TikTok.
Yeah. I also heard that the staging was changed like a little bit last minute because she broke her ankle or something like that. So, yeah. And there was like a lot of people saying that. So, I mean, I guess that doesn't necessarily confirm that it's true still too. But I think, yeah, maybe there's some merit to that. If she did, then maybe that explains why it was a little bit messy. Even with like the handography, it didn't look like centered and everything. So maybe she was struggling to find her points on stage. I'm not too sure what it was. But I'm hoping that it improves because the staging was messy.
But imagine she was telling me the whole time, you know, she was scared of getting sick before the show and trying everything not to get sick before the show, and then she broke her ankle. What a nightmare. Oh my god.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't realize like how much of a like thought that goes into the singers' heads like leading up to the contest until this year with like Virgo, because she was like, I need to hit those whistle notes, like I need to hit every note, but like the whistle notes and stuff like that too. And it's really crazy, like you kind of like sequester yourself like a little bit to some extent to not get sick. So it's funny. You don't want to get sick and then you break your ankle. It's like you can't win in life.
At least the voice didn't have any damage. Maybe that's the good side.
Yeah.
All right, Sean, I'm going to give you the choice now. We've got two neighbors of Denmark. Are we going north to Sweden first, or do you want to go south to Germany?
Oh, okay. I'll go where I'm more confident right now because I don't know so much about what's happening in Sweden. So I'll talk a little bit about Germany and my thoughts on their chosen artists. This is where I start getting like, okay, I need to not be mean and say it in a nice way. So I'm seeing, I guess I'll start with, a lot of people seem to like this. Like on EurovisionWorld.com, when I first checked the rating, like it was like a 4.8. So a lot of people are excited. And that makes me excited that other people are seeing the merit in this. If I'm going to start with any positives, I'm happy that Germany is bringing back German into the competition after, I don't know, I think it's since 2007. So that I'm pumped about. It's always nice to see a country sing their own language. So the other things that I was seeing online is that she was really sick yesterday. So I do think the vocals were weak. I think that makes me nervous. I think she was out of breath, and I don't think this is necessarily the most like vocally demanding song, although she did have great stage presence and she was like running around the stage and all that stuff. So that obviously can make someone tired. But I would like that to be like figured out a little bit more for Eurovision, because I don't want the singer to feel like it's like a laborious process to perform. The song itself is like kind of catchy. It's also a little bit of an earworm because, you know, it's fun to listen to. But for me, I don't feel like there's a lot of like valleys and peaks in the song. I don't feel like I'm being taken on a journey necessarily. And so with Eurovision, I want to be taken on that journey. I feel like, you know, you have to stand out amongst a sea of different entries and you want to have moments. And for me, this just doesn't seem to have a moment. With that being said, I understand a lot of people like it. So I'm curious to hear what your guys' thoughts are.
Well, I'm a bit conflicted because, you know, I'm also really glad that German is back. I'm really glad that two Austrians are representing Germany. That's really funny to me as an Austrian, you know. And I like them so much. I discovered them through this whole show, through this whole process, and their discography is so good. And they had a whole album to select a song, and I think they chose one of the weaker ones. Because I think, you know, they thought, you know, they have to be catchy. The song has to stick with people. And I think, like, the ba-la-la-la does that. But at the same time, there were other songs that I think would have done better at Eurovision. And yeah, she was sick. I do hope they work on that staging. I feel like Stefan Raab was busy now, you know, selecting this specific song that he wanted. And I hope now that they will put a lot of work into the whole staging, into the performance, as you said, because the vocals were not great. And I feel like there is something missing still about the staging. I love the beginning, the intro, where he plays with the, I think it's a cello. I don't want to say anything wrong. And, you know, it has a very interesting start, but then it becomes this, you know, just very heard before beat. And that is a bit disappointing to me. But overall, I think this is among the most recent German entries. I feel like this is one of the better ones still. I don't see this getting like dead last in the final.
No. Yeah. In comparison to others, yeah, it stands. Because it's not jokey. So it's not falling into like the Ich komme, Kant, all those. It's not the clean pop like we just said, you know, we're going to see from Claude. So even though it's heard before, in the group of 2025, it kind of does stand out a little bit in that way. It's a little bit EDM, so I guess it kind of veers that way a bit. I have no issues with it. I think some of the covers last night were better than Baller, but of course they can't send those. Also, on a complete side note, I noticed, because again, the German final went on so long last night, I got distracted. The overhead cubes, those LEDs that they had last night in Cologne, after Malmö, it seems like almost every second national final, like they were in Luxembourg as well. Some other countries have had them now in the national final. Is this like a Eurovision effect on staging? Because I don't remember ever seeing these LED cubes before coming down from the ceilings. Now it seems like almost every national final is using them in some way or form. Even if they don't move, they're kind of there. They're on an angle. They're up there. Mm-hmm. This Belgium had it too. They had these overhead things, right? Is that a new trend?
Maybe. I mean, I didn't really mind it last year. So it's like an interesting thought because, yeah, I don't remember it being a thing before. But now you're right. That's kind of odd.
Yeah, I think it was, you know, Tattoo. It was Lorraine who started it, you know, and with the box. And then the stage in Malmö was like this. But yeah, I like it, actually.
Okay. Interesting that, you know, after 4 hours of music, that's what sticks in my head. Anyway. We'll go north, we'll go to Jönköping, and we'll go to the fifth and final heat. And I guess the final qualification, the final qual, 2 hours on Melfest last night. Woohoo, that I missed, because I was watching Germany, but that's all right. And we had, I think, what I would call a shock qualifier last night. The first winner was Saga Ludvigsson with Hate You So Much. And then Scarlett finished in second with Sweet and Psycho. And Arvin with This Dream of Mine went to the final qual for qualification. So, out of the six last night, any were you guys just as shocked as I was, or was it? Part of me was shocked, but part of me also thought, well, this was the one heat that was more open, that kind of anyone could squeak through, this would be the one to do it.
So, I'll be honest. I focused a little bit more on Germany and Denmark yesterday. I didn't focus as much on Sweden, but I did see clips, and from the clips from yesterday, Scarlett's song, I had a lot of faith that they'd bring something great because last year I thought Circus was amazing. But this year I think it's a little bit of a weaker song. So I was surprised to see someone that I've never heard of like win the semifinal. But I think both of them were decent entries. But aside from that, I don't know much else about the semifinal.
Yeah, I think it was a weaker semifinal, which is weird to save this one for the last. I think SVT kind of wanted to make up for Scarlett and what happened last year with the weird Finalqual system. And yeah, I also was surprised that they didn't win it. But at the same time, you know, the overall result on the two who made it to the final wasn't surprising. And I'm pretty glad how the Finalqual went because I was scared that Arwin would make it just through recency bias because people just watched him perform. But I do think, especially Hush Hush, deserved to make it through to the final. And I mean, Yee Haw by Dolly Style is a bit silly, but at the same time, you know, that's the trend this year, so I kind of get it.
Please tell me they're not going to send Dolly Style to Basel. That I think that would be
an injustice. That would be the shock. That would be the shock of the year.
Yeah, I don't know what else to say. I mean, Jan, who's not here, of course, he's in Croatia, actually. He'll be at Dora tonight. So hopefully he'll have some cool stuff for our socials and some nice stories next time. But so that's why he's not here. Probably should have said that earlier. Poor old Jan. Anyway, yeah, he's in Croatia. So he's thrilled, of course, that Dali Stala got through. But he's also gutted that Victoria Silvstedt didn't, because if you go back and listen to our episode with her, Sebi and I were unavailable, unfortunately, to talk to Victoria. The two of them became like besties. It sounded like they were girlfriends that grew up together, you know, for years, and just had this lovely conversation. So I know he's very, very gutted about her coming in last place last night, I think. But yeah, but that's it. Yeah, and I have stats somewhere. I can't find them right now. But Sebi, as you're saying, like, usually the SVT like to save the best for last. And we've seen oftentimes whoever closes the final heat often ends up winning the whole thing. I don't know if Scarlett is going to win and go to Basel this year. I don't think that trend is going to track this year. But very glad they got through. Definitely righting a wrong from last year. Although I do also agree with Sean. I do think Circus X had a bit more, you know, zing to it. I think it might have been a better song compared to this one, which anyway is rough to say, because as we know from our chat with them, this isn't their usual type of music. They're usually much more into the metal, much, you know, heavier type music, and they've got to make it poppy, I guess, for Melfest, make it more universally enjoyable. So it must be strange for them to change their music to try and fit into a contest, you know. So, but glad we'll see them on Saturday. Anyone bold enough to give a prediction who's going to win the whole thing?
You mean Melfest?
Yeah, Melfest.
Yeah.
It seems like the odds right now are very, very set on Mons. I think the last time I checked, it was like 68% or something crazy like that. I've seen clips of some. I've seen the full versions of most of the entries now that are in the final. I guess it's only Scarlett and the other girl who won the heat yesterday that I haven't seen the full songs for. And I really, really do think Mons is their best shot at Eurovision. I think the Sauna song is fun. I like it. It's catchy. But there are now a lot of entries that are kind of like going for like grabbing your attention as much as possible, whether it's Finland or Malta or, you know, the Sauna song or whatever. So I want some more like serious, compelling songs in the competition. And I think Mons is like really, really good. Vocally, staging is, in my opinion, like revolutionary to some extent. I think that's probably going to come out the winner with the jury, but I think the televote will definitely go to the Sauna song. I think it's going to be a battle between the televote and the juries, though. Like, it could be one of the two.
Yeah, I think it depends on the juries at the end of the day. It depends who they select as the jurors. If it's, you know, because it's not exactly the same kind of people they would select, you know, at Eurovision as juries. So maybe they're also judges who want something different from Sweden, maybe something in Swedish, you know, something that is not, I don't want to say the same what they always send, but, you know, in that category. So yeah, I think it's going to be more exciting than the odds predict right now. Like, even if Mons wins, I don't know if it will be a landslide.
I see the same as Sean. I think most of the juries will give him 12, and he'll be going into the televote with a huge, huge lead. And we know there's not much time after they reveal the international votes. They don't give Swedes much more time to keep voting in that last, what is it, Sebi, snab reprise that they do after, you know, for the last voting. So if Mons does have a huge lead after the jury vote comes in, I don't know if Sweden will have the time to, you know, say, throw their energy behind Kai if they're not doing so well with the juries. It'll be fun, though, if there's a Finnish jury as one of the eight on Saturday night, because the 12 might go to Kai then for that jury. But I think Mons is comfortably going to have 80 or 85 plus points after the jury vote. So it's going to be tough for Kai to get the 12s from all the age groups plus the phone votes. I think that's their only way to victory. But yeah, hopefully it leads to a fun and exciting voting sequence, which I guess is what we stay the full 2 hours for and hope for the best. So I'd be happy with either, but I think Sean's right. I think Mons is the more polished Eurovision ready performance. I fear Kai might get lost a little bit amongst the more jokey, more fun entries, but hey, what do we know?
Sure. Do you have any thoughts on Portugal? That's the first question.
The only thing that I could say is there was a lot of hype about a song, I think, that was in the first semifinal with the guy who is, like, levitating almost.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really compelling, like, as a stage performance. And I thought the song was also, like, beautifully executed vocally, too. So I'm excited about that. Aside from that, I have not seen much else from the national final.
Yeah, I've seen just a recap from yesterday's show, and I thought, you know, Diana with Cotovia was really good too. And they have a sort of metal song with Henka, but it qualified, but it was the wild card. So the juries didn't put it automatically through. So I unfortunately don't see that winning the whole thing, even though we don't really have metal at Eurovision this year.
And from Portugal too is like... that
crazy, yeah.
Yeah, that is wild.
Now, my top from Portugal last night was Fernando Daniel with Medo. But I'm very happy because last week I did the same thing. I looked at the recap and picked two or three and then checked after and they had all not qualified. But at least this week, all the ones I picked did qualify, and the one I didn't like the most was out. And I was afraid because I find Portugal and me are always complete opposites. And the ones I don't like the most, the slowest, the most... probably the ones with the most beautiful lyrics that I'm falling asleep for are the ones that they tend to pick. And it seems like this week anyway, most of those went out. And I even, Sebi, you'll be interested to know, I did pick Diana Vilarinho, probably butchered the last name, yeah, as well as my favorite artsy entry from last night, which I don't usually pick. So yeah, we might not be the best experts to look at Portugal. Next week they'll have a final of 12. 50-50 televote, and 7 regional juries will pick the winner there. If they're tied, the winner will go with the televote. So, yeah, 3 songs next Saturday. We can't forget San Marino. I can't say I've been following that very much, but we'll get a 3rd song next Saturday night besides Portugal and Sweden. Any final thoughts? Any comments?
No, I don't think it's not on my end. I'm excited for May.
Yes. So, yeah. Are you going to be in Basel?
I don't think so. I'm still debating it. I'm going back and forth, but I think I might not this year. So, yeah, what about you guys?
I will be there for the Eurovision week, and I think Dave just for the weekend of the final.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you do, then send us a text if you do come.
Absolutely.
Let us know.
100%.
It's getting very expensive very quickly, so.
Yeah, that's true.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure. And thank you so much for having me.
Yeah,
you're welcome back anytime.
Yeah, it's nice to have some different perspectives on the podcast, especially your Canadian non-biased one, since you and I don't have a country in the competition. We don't participate, so we can stay nice and unbiased when possible. Of course, if you're not following Sean already, that would be a shocker. But in case you're not, we'll leave his socials down in the description so you can check out all of his wonderful content. And ours as well. You'll find us pretty much everywhere at Building Bridges Pod. And we're at www.buildingbridgespod.com, where you can get all our latest episode notes and some of the biggest Eurovision news that we cover there as well. And I think that's it. You'll see us again at the very latest next Monday morning when you get up for the week in review for the final week of Eurovision National Finals. We are guaranteed at least 3 new songs by this time next week from Sweden, from San Marino, and from Portugal. Plus, who knows what other countries might drop their songs unexpectedly over the next 7 days. So until then, we'll see you, and thanks for listening, and bye-bye.